Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
And very good afternoon, everybody, right across the east coast of Australia, through New South Wales, Queensland, ACT, and some listeners in Victoria too. A very happy Easter, everyone. I'm hearing from what's going on socials, a lot of people are hooking into a couple of chocolate bilbies, a couple of chocolate bunny rabbits, some M&Ms, and also very popular this year is the good old-fashioned Easter googie egg. So rip in. Yeah. Today's the day to have an Easter egg. Wash
so
it down with
a... did you get those off, Maroon?
Sorry,
which...
mate?
Oh, which desk?
Don't bring up people. There's a member of this commentary team that might have lifted one or two Easter eggs off
who's that?
Someone's desk. Well, just let me finish here. So I'm not a dobber like you.
You want to get the audio out? No. You want to get the audio out from a couple of years ago?
No, mate, I don't want to do
when employees rang in.
No, I don't want to do it.
To highlight the fact that you were openly walking around and tea leafing eggs off people's desks.
I don't need to go any further about who was taking the eggs off the desk. But go on, keep talking, mate. Have you ever heard the saying? The harder I try, the more I imply. It was obvious it was you that took the eggs off the desk, and you felt so bad about it, you tried to make Kenty have one and me have one. So if it hit the fan, you could say, oh, they had one too.
Anthony, stop fabricating fairy tales, okay?
You.
Stop fabricating fairy tales. Mm. I don't want to go back over last.
No, come on. Panthers 46, Manly 6, South 38, Dogs 0. Storm 40, Broncos 6, Sharks 48, Cowboys 10, Raiders 20, Titans 4. Today night's Dragons, Roosters Warriors. Tomorrow we will have this game as well, Parramatta and the Tigers. Now, are you ready to move on?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, of course, all the talk around the south, everywhere from, of course, Redfern across to Bondi and then south to Malabar and Little Bay, the talk is... what is going on with Adam Reynolds? Have we got a clearer picture of where Adam will be next year? I know that Chime, Steve Gillis, has to sit down with the people at South, obviously, Mark Ellison. I know those two have a good relationship in and out of football. Where does it go from here?
Well, I think they went to school together, didn't they?
I think Ello went to Pagewood.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
okay.
He tried to get into Marsden, but he wasn't good enough.
They've been mates for... they've obviously been extremely thick for many years, which is what makes this circumstance quite unique. Look, I think a lot of people figured that the Adam Reynolds contract standoff would get resolved, but as it sits at the moment, there's a meeting on Tuesday. Steve Gillis, who's Adam's agent, has been adamant right the way through negotiations that they won't be accepting terms on a 12-month deal. We got there in the end. And so as a result, we'll see how it shakes out on Tuesday. But I think there's a lot of other elements involved too, like Cody Walker's off contract at the end of next year. They've also got some young gun talent coming through as well at Redfern. And all of that has been thrown into the equation. And that's part of the reasoning from the club about why they want to do this whole 12-month dance with Adam. Mm.
Kenty, would you sign him for longer than 12 months, knowing that all those other players are coming off contract?
Oh, I think you've probably got a clear room to keep him, Gordy. Look, I don't know what he's on. But he is valuable to that team, and for reasons beyond just what he brings as a footballer. Yeah. You go up in sixes with Adam Reynolds in the side. I think that's a big advantage in the modern game. He obviously the captain. He's, for all marketing and all the rest of it, being a local junior and wanting to, growing up around the corner and wanting to always play for the Rabbitohs, all that's important. And I don't think the idea that they only want to go up in 12-month intervals because they've got concerns about his future and his long-term health. I think 2 years is... He's got no signs of any real injury. So 2 years is not a long stretch there. Yeah. And I think Gordy, like, you're not going to keep all those players. Like, that guy, Alex Johnson, re-signed, and they reckon he took up a bit of his money. Gagai can't stay if Reynolds re-signs, but I think you've just got to make the call. I'd be certainly finding the money for him.
Do you know what? I was watching Fox over the weekend. I think Mel Meninga just said, if he plays that good, back yourself. Play really good. And then you might go somewhere else and get another 2 or 3 year deal. Like, what's wrong with signing one and backing yourself? Well, like, no, if you're that confident, just back yourself.
No, because he's already at that point. It's not... He's already at that point.
But like the club's going, hey, well, hold on. We just want one.
Yeah, and you said you back yourself, and if he goes good, then other clubs will come in with money. Well, that's what other clubs are doing now. That's the point he's at now. Like, he wants a multi-year deal, which provides him security. And I think that every player wants that. So. I don't have a problem with him wanting security, Gordy. I don't think he's not backing himself. And I think clubs are coming to him now saying, well, mate, if South Australia are going to offer you 1 year, we'll offer more. We'll give you 2 or 3 years. And that's pleasing to him. That's what he wants. He's agreeable to that. That's what he prefers. So.
Maroon, you bleed red and green. Mm-hmm. As a South Sydney member and, you know, lifelong supporter, how do you feel about this?
No, I think this is the player. To me, we've got to keep him. He's got to finish his career at Souths, whether it's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. He's got to finish his career at Souths. He's part of that premiership side. He is important as Souths player to me as Bob McCarthy or any of those players.
Really?
He means everything to me, this kid. Come through the ground. He has been part of the whole turnaround of our club, being competitive every year. Since he's been there, he's played his first grade game in 2012. We nearly made the grand final, and we only didn't because he did a hammy.
Yep.
And, Paul, you make a good point that's not made enough in rugby league. When you score a try with Adam Reynolds, you go up in sixes. Mm. And how many times do we see a team score 3 tries and they're only 12 or 14 points?
Yep.
So I say at all costs, with due respect to every player, I don't care who's got to go, he's got to stay.
Well. Yeah. No, it is it's a fascinating scenario. I thought it was madness initially when I heard that the club was just refusing to budge from 12 months. There's been all sorts of theories that there must be bigger picture people involved at the club, you know, like the serious power brokers, Russell Crowe, Nick Pappas, whoever it is. Richo's not there anymore, Shane Richardson, but I think he does still have some sort of consultancy involvement with the club. I get the feeling as though if he was around, he'd make it happen. Yeah. Like, he'd get it done so that Adam got what he wanted. And there's always ways with a salary cap. There's always more than one way that you can skin the cat. You can always find wiggle room and latitude, and, you know, yes, it will probably, well, it's going to mean that they might have to shift some other players, but I think given what he means to the club, I've got to say I'm surprised with the club being so belligerent about their position.
Yeah, well, these players, they're talking about two guys that are ready to, you know, that are playing in the lower grades. Obviously, one of them is Taff.
Well, it's Blake Taff, it's Lachlan Ilias, and there's another young gun hooker called Peter Mamazoulis. Yeah. And they won the 2019 Jersey flag competition, all playing alongside one another. Taff got man of the match, scored a couple of tries. Ilias was an Australian Rugby Union schoolboy, but by all reports is, you know, like a game management style of halfback, similar to what Adam was when he was a young kid coming through initially at Redfern, but I guess the million-dollar question is whether they're ready.
They're like, not
they didn't
ready.
Have any football at all last year. Yes, they're back playing again now. I think Taff will probably get a crack later on this season, most likely around State of Origin.
Well, we saw him in the Charity Shield.
He had a crack in the Charity Shield, yeah. Look, by all reports, he's going to be a damn good player, but it's a strange set of circumstances, especially, Kenny, when you think that there's such a good chance of winning a competition this year. And then this is one of the narratives that is now dominating headlines for the opening month of the comp.
Yeah, I get the feeling there's something Souths aren't telling us. There's a reason they don't want to go to 2 years. I find it quite sort of small that a 1 year or 2 year. If a salary cap will explain to us
what's going on. Well, they're saying that it is. Well, they're saying.
That came out late, Hoops. That didn't come out initially.
Yeah, you're right. Well, initially it was, we don't want to get stuck in another Sam Burgess-style scenario where we've signed a player on a long-term contract, they get injured, we have to pay them out, and the club gets left footing the bill.
Mm. Yeah. Well, so that went around initially, but it didn't. Then it changed to no salary cap position, which you can't argue with. But then you got to say, well, hang on, is here someone that you need to shift your strategy or your emphasis within the cap to keep? And there's a lot of people think he is.
Early in the negotiations, certainly around the people I know, and I live in the area, you know, it was all about, you know, it's like when you go and try and buy a car, they're going to go in here, you're going to come in here, and somewhere we're going to meet in the middle.
Yep.
And that was all the talk. There was nothing to worry about. We're all going to meet in the middle. Adam was going to be there for at least another 2 years. But the longer this goes on, Rabbitohs fans are genuinely worried.
There was always a view that, yes, at some point they would strike a price, both give a little bit of ground, and in all likelihood it would shake out that he was probably going to end up with a two-year deal. But the Bunnies are adamant they're going to play hardball, and I don't blame Adam Reynolds for taking the position that he's taking either. Now you've got the North Queensland Cowboys that have come in and said, absolutely, we're prepared to offer you a longer-term deal on good dough. So I hope it doesn't come to that because, you know, they're the great stories in the game. The young blokes like Adam Reynolds who come through, it's a junior club, they have success with them, they take the fans on a great ride. Like, you could see from those scenes when he scored that try on Good Friday out there with the little legs pumping, and then he did the interviews afterwards, and then he was over talking to the fans, and he mentioned all the, you know, messages and the support that he's had from the red and green faithful. I'm not surprised. Mm. Like, they love him.
I like Kenty mentions it all the time about your salary cap, and we spoke about it at the top of the show. You got to manage it. And that's what it's coming down to. So they must think we're going to lose some of these young kids, and then they get in a hole.
Let me ask you this, Gordy. Is there a little bit of, remember the Roosters made that ruthless decision a couple of years ago with Mitchell Pearce, where they went and signed Cooper Cronk, and then ultimately Mitchell was forced. They said he could have stayed there,
and it would have been a 4 or 5 year deal, and then you get the Sam Walkers and all the other young kids that were coming through, and Kyle Flanagan, and he didn't work out. Do you miss out on those guys by signing them, and then they go and have careers? Look at the Bulldogs. So, for instance, Bulldogs had Braith and Shifty Sherwin.
Yep.
And they let go Jonathan Thurston.
Yep.
You know, and maybe that's what Souths are thinking, you know what I mean? And we're not there. We don't have all the players and what they think and, you know, what they're going to look like moving forward. You know, maybe Adam needs to go somewhere else and get the 3 years, or he stays there for the 1 year, and that's all they are prepared to offer him at the moment.
That's the unspoken element of all of this. And they're saying that if he does agree to the 12 months, then they're happy to assess it year on year, keep it rolling. As long as he's continuing to play good footy, then he keeps that number 7 jumper. But that's what we don't know, and that's what the club at this point in time aren't really waxing lyrical
about. It makes it cheaper to sack him. Mate, it's happening at Penrith now with Burton, isn't it? It's actually happening with Matt Burton. He was there, and I'm sure they would love to keep him because they're trying to play him in the centres. But, you know, they made a choice, and it's Cleary and Luai, and they're doing an absolutely fantastic job, I think. They're, but at one stage, it was Luai and Burton going head-to-head.
Yep.
You know, and they had the luxury, but Burton went.
Mm. Well, we like to think View Hoops is our Adam Reynolds, mate, only that the real Adam Reynolds has got better tattoos. But, mate, you are our Adam Reynolds. We can't go forward.
If you're going to start jibing blokes about bad tattoos, I'd be very careful.
I was giving you a rap. It's Easter, brother. Well, we don't need really go into too much detail about this game. South 38-0, just absolutely way too good for the Doggies. And the Doggies have now had their worst start since 1971. It's the first time since 1971, 0-4 to start a season for the Doggies. And the last three weeks, 0 points scored. But they're a great club and they'll be back.
Yeah, they will be back. But I tell you what, 245 minutes, I think it is, without a point. That's going to be keeping their coach, Trent Barrett, awake at night.
Mm. All right, boys, we're going to take a break. We'll come back because there was another flogging. And Manly, we can discuss a little bit about Manly and this talk about Des being joined at the coaching ranks there by Paul Green. Among other things, there's plenty to talk about.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. It's Easter Sunday. Hope you're having a wonderful Easter right across the eastern coast of Australia, up through Queensland and New South Wales. What's happened here, boys? Why are we?
Mate, Gordon's just on one of his long, boring stories,
right?
And he's just and the whole thing started up.
Yeah,
so we're about to come back there. He just kept talking, and I thought, Hoops and I looked at each other as if he's just going to keep talking all the way through. Start back to the show.
Oh, just my timing, guys. I'm professional.
Your time, yeah. You pulled out about a second before your mic went live.
Oh, he's a professional, this kid.
And like most stories, it didn't end.
He just punches away, don't you, mate? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Okay, you know those people that tell you a story? You know what happened to me yesterday? What happened? Oh, I woke up, I walked downstairs, I got in the car, I drove. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? No, it was Tuesday. What happened? You go, what happened? Just tell me what happened. Anyway, poor old Manly supporters are struggling this year. Manly, another club that have not won a game this year, and over the weekend they were absolutely flogged by Penrith by 46 points to 6. Like a lot of games, the scoring slowed down a little bit toward the end. I don't know where the problem begins or ends with Manly, because people are often of the opinion with Manly boys that, well, they don't have a lot of depth anyway, and then the big fella goes over to the Warriors. And then, of course, you got Tom Trbojevic injured. So they were kind of behind the eight ball before the season even started.
Yeah, we spoke earlier in the program about what happens if you invest too much of your salary cap at the top end of your roster. And that's exactly what's happened with the Seagulls. Daly Cherry-Evans is the best paid player in the game. Then you got the Turbo Brothers, local juniors, rightfully on a good wicket. Marty Tapau's also on good dough. Dylan Walker's in there and up there as well. And then after that, because they let Adam Fanua Blake go, the roster becomes very thin very quickly. So it's not a quick fix for Manly. These reports today, Kenty, that Paul Green might go in and help. I couldn't possibly disagree with that any more strongly, because like he knows where he is. He knows what it takes to get out of there. I can't understand why you would go and get another bloke who's been around but isn't as experienced as Dez to come in and try and solve the problem.
Yeah, look, Dez is the best at running on a shoestring budget, but that comes to bite. I think Dez does a lot of work at the Seagulls that other coaches have assistants and people in place to do for him, things with the video and even a lot of the sports science Dez does off his own bat at Manly. I'm not against him getting some help. It's just got to be the person coming in to help him has got to be there for the right reasons. He can't be coming in there thinking, well, mate, if I impress you, maybe I'll get the head job when Dez gets sacked. That's what they can't have. So they got whoever, you know what I mean? Like at some point, that's what they all come in. Every assistant comes in and they've got one on the main job. So I got no problem with Dez getting a bit of help, but they've got to get the right guy. Look, Green certainly knows what he's doing, and I think Green's got other things in place. So I think if he on a short-term go to just keep his head in the game and to keep working a bit, I think he'd do it. He might not even have to go turn up at Manly. Dez might just send him video and what are you looking at here? What do you see here? And just an extra pair of eyes can't be a problem. Or, you know, I think it can hurt.
The Adam Fanua Blake decision, like they obviously made that decision last year about moving Adam Fanua Blake on, even though he was still under contract. And yes, he was on big dough, but
he got bigger dough. Okay, I think he was on massive money at Manly.
Oh, he was on pretty good. I think he was on pretty good, but
it was a mistake to let him go. They really missed him.
That's what I was going to get back to now. Like you watch him play now, and you think back to when they were actually going okay at the beginning of last year, and it was all on the back of Tommy Turbo and Adden and Marty Tapau, and they just like at the moment. Yes, they've got other injuries. Curtis Sirenin's not available at the moment as well. They haven't got a recognised hooker, and Daly obviously hasn't started the season in the type of form that he'd like, but it just, you don't know where it ends at the moment. They'll get Tommy Turbo back, but there's going to be massive pressure on him to produce.
We often hear about, like, every week we'd think to ourselves, you know, that they always say winning begins in the front office, and say the last decade, probably since Manly last won the premiership, even the year they won that premiership, there's always talk about the board and the people that operate the club. There's always some level of drama in the club. Is it a healthy organisation now, do you think?
Manly? No, yeah. I still think there's problems there. They're a funny club. Like the mythology that went around, only a Manly bloke can coach Manly, because the history of the club is the only people to coach winning premierships there are Frank Stanton, Bozo, and
Dez,
who also
and
played
Tuvey,
there.
Did Jeff Tuvey?
He got him into a GF.
He got him there, but they didn't win it. They got beat by the Roosters. But look, but once you start obeying that rule, then if it's not Dez, who do you go to?
Yeah.
So you've really created a problem for yourself. But I think the club just does things on the cheap too much, and that was why Trent Barrett got out of the club. I think there's a real issue there, the way that some of the things are run. I think that was one of the attractions of bringing Dez back to the club, that he was willing to come in under those circumstances.
Hmm.
But yeah, when privately, and I say this respectfully, when privately owned clubs they always seem to be the first to try and do things on the cheap.
Yeah.
When the privately owned clubs.
So what would happen then at Manly, I wonder, if the people who privately own it now wanted to bail out?
The Penn family. Mm. Oh, there's been talk around for many years that they're often looking to sell. Well,
they were up for sale about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I think they were waiting for offers, but they didn't get anywhere near what they wanted.
Mm.
What's a football club worth these days?
Mm.
It's hard to know. But I'll tell you what, the good thing about owning a football club now is essentially your wages are nearly all covered in the NRL grant.
Right.
So a well-run club can make some money with the sponsorships and all that on top of it. But the Seagulls just don't have enough. They don't have enough depth through their playing squad. There's not enough hardened first graders in the team. Mm-hmm. There's not enough guys. Poor old Jake Trbojevic sits there and says all the right things. Nobody works harder than Jake, but they're just incapable of doing what he so passionately is trying to get them to achieve. Mm. Yeah, just buy in and defend and play tough and let's stick it out, guys. All those sort of qualities are just not in Manly at the moment, which is surprising in some ways, because that's one thing that Dez's teams have ever, they've never lacked that. You know, they've always had a real resilience about them, a mental edge and an underlying physical hardness, but it's not in this Manly team. Their defence is paper thin.
Yeah.
The flip side of that as well is, like, Penrith, everything they touch at the moment, they're just on fire. Nathan Cleary came back into the side, but it was Jerome Luai, 4 try assists, and just that left edge attack. Like, they've shifted Brian Toto over to that side. They moved Stephen Crichton from left centre to fullback and put Matt Burton into the centres. Mm. Kickow's a monster. And they're in tremendous form. They look just as good a side, which I must say, I had some reservations given all the experience that they let go, especially in terms of their middle forwards. I thought that their pack might lack a hard edge this year, but Fisher Harris has taken his game again to greater heights, and yeah, they're going to be up there. They are absolutely entitled to premiership favouritism.
Absolutely, and they only lost the 2 games last year. Sadly, one of them was the grand final, but they're great to watch, aren't they? And as you say, Hoops, options all over the place. Matty Burton gets a start, and somebody made the point yesterday too. I mean, if you like all this talk about Matt Burton going to the Dogs, why would he want to go? If him personally, like, he's probably going to play in a team in the grand final this year.
Well, he's a chance.
Yeah, yeah. If he goes to the Bulldogs.
No, he gets paid a lot more.
Paid more, and I think he just wants to. I think he wanted to. Well, this was certainly what we were being told, was that he wanted to play in the NRL, and at Penrith prior to injuries, he wasn't in their best 17. So I can understand why he felt he was NRL ready. The Bulldogs are crying out for him like oxygen. Like, as Trent Barrett said the other day, their attack is pedestrian.
Mm.
Watching them, I tell you what, if anyone is struggling to get to sleep, bang on the open 15 minutes of a Bulldogs game from the last 3 weeks, and I promise, no, you'll be out like a light.
Oh, dear. All right, boys, well, we might take a break and we'll come back and talk a little. We might lighten things up a bit very shortly with our Easter quiz, because the beautiful Mrs. Soprano of Abbotsbury in Sydney's West has given us 2 dozen Krispy Kremes to give away. Asunda Soprano is the lady's name. Loves the show.
She has
supplied us with the Krispy Kremes.
You're trying to remember the name you mentioned earlier in
Asunta
the show.
Asunda Soprano. So that's his mother's name. Asunta.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Yeah, still got some games to get through in the NRL this weekend. And, of course, there's a good game on this afternoon. That's the Knights and the Dragons. Triple M has that game. Roosters, Warriors tonight, tomorrow, Parramatta and the Tigers. So a couple of the scores have blown out over the weekend so far. I reckon that Knights-Dragons game is potentially a close one. Right now, though, we're going to do a little bit of fun with our Easter trivia quiz, boys. Now, the prize today, as we said, is 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. There's chocky, and there is also plain. There is just some strawberry ones there as well, some customised ones. So you can either take those home to your kids, if you like, hoops, or you can just share them around here.
Are you throwing in Miss Portugal's painted
hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what we do, because my wife's from Portugal, she does the...
what it means.
Yeah.
Miss Portugal. That makes sense.
1984 Miss Portugal. She hard-boils the eggs and then paints them. So it's a little bit...
Do you give her a hand?
Oh, I used to. I don't now. I used to give her a hand. The grandkids are there now. But, you know, like, it's a little bit of a scam because you don't really get chocky. You get egg. I mean, you can have an egg any day, can't you? Just so it's painted, big deal, I say. I'd rather not have an egg. But looking at you today, Hoops, you could do with a little bit more protein and a little less chocky. So if you win, you don't get the Krispy Kreme.
So no mirrors at your house?
If you win, you don't get the... Oh, there's mirrors all over my house.
Yourself.
Yeah. All right, boys, are you ready for the Easter quiz? Your name is your buzzer. First question is, all questions about Easter. What baked good is a Good Friday tradition around the world? What baked good? Yes, Paul?
Hot cross buns.
And it's 1-0. Thank you very much, Paul. Question number two.
I couldn't remember me buzzer. Oh,
you couldn't remember your buzzer.
Oh, God. Got caught the barrier. Yeah.
You couldn't remember.
You got caught the barrier.
Actually, what have I got to say? I have to answer it. Now I realize it's my name. Let's go.
Question number two. In what decade did they start selling cheese on a stick at the Easter show? At what?
Paul.
Yes.
70s.
Yes.
Boom.
2-0. Paul, he's going to run away with this. The next question is, often seen performing at the Easter show, David Foster is a champion.
Paul.
Yes.
Oh. Axeman.
Yes, yeah. He's done it. 3-0. You blokes will have to play for second because we planned on having a little bit more time for this, right?
Okay. So what else you got?
Come on, I forgot my buzzer.
Okay. So now you guys
got buzzer issues as well.
You've got
actually.
It.
You know that Dave Foster one day he came up to the Ecker.
Yeah.
And he's such a big man. Like he is a massive human. The Axeman. I think he had 19 world records. I had a couple of beers with him. I reckon he has 12 schooners. He had 12 schooners in about half an hour.
I tell you, I
and then went back out and started wheeling there.
If he beats you to the bottom of the glass, he goes quick.
Oh, gee whiz, he was good.
Just anybody in Sydney, the Ecker is like a show in Brisbane. They have a Gymkhana and a Ferris wheel, dodging cars, and the mayor goes down the main streets. Beautiful time. Right. Okay, so now you guys are playing for second. The Milky Bar Kid is always dressed as what?
A cowboy. Gordy.
Correct, a cowboy. So it's now for second place. One.
It's the Easter show bowl.
Okay.
He's taking the trophy.
How many days are there in Lent? How many days are there in Lent?
Hoops.
Yeah.
I'll just guess.
28.
30.
30's wrong. So you're minus one.
How many are there?
40. 40 days. According to unwritten law, we bite off what part of the bunny first?
Gordy, ears.
Yeah, the ears. All right, Gordy only needs one more, and you'll get second place, and then we'll have to find something else to do for 2 minutes. Waste a bit more time.
This is flying.
All right, it's going okay, this segment. You see, he's turning on it because he's not.
Because he's losing.
Yeah,
it's good.
You are a
joke,
mate. Hey, mate, did you watch Channel 9 Footy Show? There is that many journalists, mate, that we could get in here. And give you a couple of months off.
Like you had last week.
I was away last week. All right, here we go. Name is your
Come
buzzer.
Come on, wrecking ball. Hit me with your best shot.
M&M's originated in what country?
Gordy.
Yes.
USA.
Ah, yes. And poor old Hoops finishes with minus one. Anyway,
there was only two Easter questions.
What are you talking about? They're all Easter chocolate, Easter eggs. All right, anyway, doesn't matter. I won't be doing that again. And no, by the way, you're not getting the boiled eggs. We'll take a break. We'll come back.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We've got Paul Kent. We've got James Triceps Hooper. We've got Gordon Tallis in the Gordon Tallis studio in Caxton Street, Brisbane. And it's a happy Easter, everybody. We're getting lots and lots of feedback. You're enjoying the show while you're having your Easter lunch with your family. So if you're having a barbie or whatever the case might be, it's good to have your company while you're doing that. Panthers 46, Manly 6, South 38, Dogs 0, Storm 40, Broncos 6, Sharks 48, Cowboys 10, Raiders 20, Titans 4. Today, Knights, Dragons, Roosters, Warriors. Tomorrow, Parramatta, Tigers. Three teams haven't won a game. The Cowboys, the Bulldogs, Manly, Penrith so far are 4 from 4. We haven't spoken about this game yet, Gordon. Storm 40, Broncos 6. How's Kevy finding life in the furnace that is the NRL head coach?
I reckon he knew that it was going to be a tough job coming up to Brisbane with, you know, where they finished last year. Don't forget they had the wooden spoon. They were coming up against the premiers on Friday night. And you'd think that the roster's probably not as strong as what it was last year. But I know it sounds funny, but I saw a bit of improvement. For 25 minutes there, the Broncos were holding their own against the Melbourne Storm. And they're a side that fast start. They were coming off two losses. But there's a hell of a lot of work to do in Brisbane, like there is at the Dogs and the Cowboys and Manly. You know, with the split in the competition so far, and yeah, they're just young kids. They just really need to learn that when something goes against you, you know, you got to bite down on your mouth guard. And it's really hard because when I did it, when I was a young guy coming in, I played with guys like Michael Potter and Mark Coyne and, you know, Scott Goulet, David Barnhill, and those guys that were older, and you know, they'd sort of tuck you under their wing. And when I come to Brisbane, there was Glenn Lazarus and those guys, and all these young guys, when something goes against them, they all drop their head at the same time, and they're not hardened pros yet. You know, like they can't do it week in, week out, and they can't do it for 80 minutes. So there's a big challenge for the bottom four clubs, I believe.
Yeah, and the Broncos created that problem for themselves a couple of years ago when they cleaned out all the experienced players. It was madness to get rid of all of them, and it really left a real vacancy up top for just good old-fashioned hardened pros who just know the ropes. This is how we get out of this, guys. Come on, let's go. They can't get out of it at the moment, the Bronx. Like, as soon as they had things go against them, they fell over. They were good while they were still in the contest. But as soon as they got behind, thought, no, this isn't working for us, they didn't know how to get themselves out of it. And suddenly it was try, 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 and the game was gone.
And Paul, and it can even be at training. Like Sonny Bill Williams come back to the Roosters, and I don't believe he was anywhere near his, you know, first stint or second stint in rugby league. And then when he comes back, but how he prepares for games, that's what the young kids learn, and how professional you are off the field, how you don't get wavered, how, you know, a loss, how you know, can kiss it off really early in the week, or, you know, you come to training on Monday and you're preparing for the new side. You're not thinking, oh, gee whiz, you know, am I going to keep my job? And that's what's happening with a lot of these young guys. You know, they're week-to-week, and not that they're week-to-week players, but they don't know whether they're going to be, you know, starting, you know, in the side or not, and it's really tough on the young kids at the moment.
One bloke who I felt for Gordon was Jake Turpin. He made 54 tackles, didn't have a miss, and he really is wearing his heart on his sleeve and doing everything he can to try and lift the side. But in terms of what you're saying about week-to-week, Kevy obviously made the decision that he wanted to start with Tommy Dearden on Friday night. Do you think that he will now persevere with that? Or Brady Croft was obviously also still on the bench as well.
Oh, well, I think that it's working. You tell me who's a better number seven. I don't know, you know, but Croft has had more opportunity. Maybe it's Croft and Dearden, and then Milford's got to come off the bench. Because at the moment, Milford's not the one that's living up to his name. I think Dearden's still learning his craft, and Croft, he seems to have lost his mojo, hasn't he? You know, like the player that we were watching at the Melbourne Storm a couple of years ago. I think he kicked a field goal in Adelaide to beat the Roosters on the bell or whatever. I don't see that. I don't see the confidence in that guy now running out in a Broncos jersey.
Yeah, it's a problem there. I don't know what they're going to do in the halves. Look, Milford's not has never delivered at 5'8" like he was brought there to do.
Well, he did the year they made the GF, he did, but since then he's fallen off the face of the cliff.
I think he played a great grand final, but I really don't think he had a great season as such. Like, his form week to week, you wouldn't want to be paying for him. Well, they are paying for consistency, but you wouldn't want to be because I don't think he's ever been consistent over 24 rounds where he's put together a season. You just sit back and go, that was a pretty impressive effort. Mm. Whereas the high achievers, that was Thurston, was competitive every week. He was dangerous every week. Milford, some weeks, he's not dangerous. Mm. But Dearden, obviously, they believe he's the future hope of the club. But he's still a rookie. And to put him on alongside Croft, I think you got two relatively inexperienced players running your team. I think that's a danger side, particularly when you've got Turpin at dummy half, who's not experienced either. And then they've got, Asako at fullback, who, again, it's a very, very inexperienced spine. They've probably got the most inexperienced spine in the competition.
And it's completely new look. Yeah. They're only learning to play alongside one another and together this season. So the Dearden one is a tricky one because, further to the fact that he is only young in terms of his development, he's also off contract. And, the North Queensland Cowboys have already come in and thrown their hand up that they are going to throw a bid into the ring. So, it's a balancing act. I feel for Kevy at the moment, and we've said it consistently over the course of the opening month of the competition, he's inherited an absolute bun fight.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'm like Gordon, I saw a lot of improvement in the weekend, in the game that just went past, compared to their earlier weeks. So they are, I think, making some movement in the right direction. They've just got to keep working on playing tough. I don't think that they really know how to play tough. They've never been I found the Broncos in recent years to be very immature, both in experience, but also in mentally. And I think that shows down when they get under any form of duress that they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to be tough. Mm. And there's some tough guys, obviously, as individuals in there. But I just don't think that as a group, they've got any trust in each other in those situations. They play like there's a belief it's inevitable that that's going to happen anyway. And that's what Kevy's got to get out of them.
This is going to be really, Gordy, uncharted territory for the Broncos. If the plans continue for another side in Brisbane, well, the timing couldn't be worse for the Broncos from a marketing point of view or a membership point of view, because if another side comes along and offers something a little bit different for the average rugby league punter.
Yep. Oh, well, that's true, but I was talking to the marketing guy at the Broncos. I think they'd sold more corporate boxes this year on the back, of Kevy coming back to the club and, are the hope that it's going to turn around. So, but yeah, are you right? And, are they got to start winning? I suppose the positive, I think they found a replacement for David Fifita and that Jordan Rickey. I think he's going to turn in. I know he's only young, but he's probably 40 games away from being a superstar that, they think he's going to be. Payne Haas, I thought, was really strong in Melbourne. Don't normally lose the middle, but they were losing it early when he and Lodge started the game. They started like house on fire, but then Tevita Pangai Jr. come off the bench, and I suppose he had one job, was to keep the momentum going. But he's been a real disappointment, Tevita. I think when the oxygen's gone out of the game, he's really tough, and he beat Dave Fifita up the week before, but the scoreline was 24 points to 4 before he starts going mad. And a couple of years ago he took on Tamalolo, but he's not consistent in doing that. I'd love to see Tevita Pangai Jr. every week start and be aggressive and be that big dominant player that we see for 5 minutes when the game's over and the scoreline is out of touch for the Broncos.
All right. Well, that Jordan Rickey, he's signed for a few years, hasn't he? So finally they got one back.
Yeah, but that's another problem they got there too, Anthony. You were talking about astute management and all the rest of it. The Broncos are competing to save, to keep players at their club. And so they're getting in bidding wars with, was it Rickey with Canterbury?
It's Piacora, Brendan Piacora.
So they offered massive overs to keep Piacora when Canterbury came in, and all that money, the reason you develop players is so you don't have to get competitive. You've already got them. You don't have to get there and go out and pay overs to get them. Yet they're retaining all their players by paying overs. Now, that's a problem also, because that then means there'll be no money left to go out into the market and pick the players they need to get out of the market. And as we can see, they're far from the finished product, so they're going to have to do that.
It was very rare that the Broncos, especially when Gordon was there, but in Wayne Bennett's entire tenure at the club, like, it was very rare that they lost a young gun kid that they wanted to keep. You can go back as far as...
I remember the only one was Justin Hodges.
I was just about to say it, Gordon.
And Wayne sent the biggest message. He just never played him in first grade again. He just put him back in the Queensland Cup. Lucky we had Brent Tate to come in and fill his spot, who was a fair player. Like, we did have, you know, like another young player, but Justin Hodges burst onto the scene, and what a player he was. And then he signed for the Roosters, and I know Wayne, he didn't like it.
Yeah, he was fuming, that's right. And he sent a message, and then we didn't see it for many years, but, you know.
But, mate, you can't do it because one of the managers at the club's got 16 players, you know. Mm. At our club.
Is that still how it is?
Well, 15 or whatever, yeah. So, you know, that's the problem at the Broncos. The same problems that were there in the management is still there.
Well, that's another problem that the draft would fix.
Maybe Wayne Bennett goes back there and does another stint as some sort of a coaching director. Have you heard these whispers?
You know, put your brain in, Maroon.
Is that
come from the vessel in Buckingham Street, Brentford?
Victor the Vessel, Vassilis. No, it didn't come from the vessel, but I could ask the vessel about it.
Because there has been some talk about that. Mm. Yeah, there has been some talk. Mm. I think Kevy might have even picked up the phone a couple of times and just had a yak to Wayne.
Yeah. Okay.
Not necessarily specifically about coming back to the club, but just about what he, you know, he's obviously been around for a long time, what he's seeing in terms of what the club's producing at the moment.
Well, it's time now for happy hour, which means, Paul, you have to go.
Righto then.
And we'll catch you on NRL 360.
Yes, you will.
Which we love. And Benji Marshall will join us in the course of the next hour. So we'll have Benji, we'll have Hoops, we'll have Gordon Tallis, who just told me to put my brain back in after he said that he was... I don't know, you're getting like Wendell, mate. We don't know what team you are. You're a Broncos man, you're a Titans man. Whose car are you driving this week? Have you changed mobs? Whose car are you driving, Gordon? You're tough from 1,000 kilometres away, aren't you? Hey? Yeah, tough from 1,000 kilometres away, mate.
Oh, mate.
I'm down there next week.
Beautiful. Good.
Don't take your glasses off. I'll punch around them.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll be up there next week.
6 days to fix things in.
Yes. All right.
Mate, he'll ring you as soon as we get off here. Gordon, what time are you landing? I'll be there.
Don't worry about a coffee. I'll get you one.
Paul, see you on NRL 360.
See ya.
Take a break. We'll come back and we'll have Benji join us shortly as well as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.